I'm joined here today by David Skinner and Leonard Kaplan of Prudential Real Estate Investors. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The shift in the pension world from defined benefit to defined contribution has been widely reported. I think for the alternatives industry, and particularly for commercial real estate managers, it does have major implications over how they raise capital in the future. Now, Dave, you lead Prudential Real Estate Investors DC group, and Len, you're the portfolio manager for the group. Dave, just talk me through. Give me some insights into the reality of that shift from DB to DC and what it actually means for real estate managers.
If you look at the DB world today and you look at the DC world, over the long run, the average DB plan has outperformed the average individual in the DC plan by 100 to 150 basis points, depending upon what period you're looking at. On top of that, there's, if you look at returns over time, the average DB plan has a lot less volatility than what you would see in the average DC participant's portfolio. So this notion of the DC plan sponsors now looking at their participants and saying, what do we need to do to improve outcomes? It's all around really taking the best practices of DB and moving it to DC. And what plays into that is that looking at asset classes that are prevalent in the DB plan that you don't have in DC today. So private real estate, private equity, hedge funds, illiquid asset classes that have not been traditionally in the DC plan and now being looked at and adopted by plan sponsors.
So do the DC plans, do they not have any exposure to real estate? Because I would have thought on an asset allocation basis that they would have had some exposure.
Well, they do have exposure today. And what where they've had exposure is in using REITs, securities, because securities have offered liquidity and transparency that's up to today has been really one of the key factors and key driving points of plan sponsors to include an asset class in that plan. So REITs have been used, and they've been used very well, and REITs have performed very well for plan sponsors. But the notion of including direct real estate has been something that most plan sponsors haven't included because there hasn't been liquidity, there hasn't been daily valuation, which has been really one of the key requirements to participate in DC. That's changing. You know, 3 years ago, if you asked a plan sponsor to look at private real estate, the first question would be, can I get daily valuation, daily liquidity? Now the question is, how can I optimize an investment outcome for my participant? And what will it take to get there?
Len, just to bring you in at this point, give me an idea as to how Prudential Real Estate Investors actually structures the products, because I think that will actually give us a good base to actually talk about the challenges and how you actually overcome them.
So our DC-oriented real estate fund is a fund-to-fund structure. So investors buy shares in PREF, our DC fund, which then makes investments in the underlying funds, which are large commingled funds. So they get the benefit of a 420 to 440 property diversified portfolio, which are otherwise not available to individuals like you or me.
And who are you actually targeting when we talk about defined contribution? You know, what type of plans are you actually targeting? Who are you targeting within that?
Right, so we're targeting what we call target date funds. So they're professionally managed funds that act very much like defined benefit plans. They have long-term planning, they're diversified, they invest in alternative assets as well as stocks and bonds, so they act very much like a DB plan. So that's the benefit that an individual will get by investing in that plan versus just an individual choosing stocks or bonds themselves.
And obviously you talked about the challenges, and I know liquidity is obviously a very big one, but also daily valuations. I know there have been private real estate managers who've really tried to tap the retail market, and that's been a real challenge. How do you overcome liquidity first?
Well, liquidity is by setting up a fund to fund, we're really combining REITs and direct real estate. And the REIT saves really the component that provides the daily liquidity. So you can trade in and out of the fund on a daily basis. We also realize that, again, coming back to the question, do I need 100% liquidity in a target date fund? 90% of your target date fund is going to be in liquid assets. And considering the cash flow that constantly comes in from a DC plan that's not prevalent in DB plans, you've got cash flows coming in from contributions. So we don't see the need to have 100% liquidity, and we believe by offering a REIT allocation, you get the amount of liquidity that a plan sponsor is requiring. We have a product that has a allocation of 25% to REITs, and we have a product that has an allocation of 15% REITs, because what we're finding is plan sponsors who have already been investing are saying, we don't need that much liquidity. We don't need that much REIT exposure. So it's really coming down to the marketplace, sponsors and consultants starting to say, what is our liquidity needs? And let's form a smart decision around the investment decision, given the real liquidity, not the perceived liquidity need.
What about cash? Because obviously that's going to be a dampener in terms of returns as well. Do you have to keep cash on hand?
We keep a very small amount, anywhere from 1% to 2%. And that's just to handle daily cash flows that come in and out of the fund. So
what are the DC plans talking to you about in terms of daily valuations? Because that's obviously a significant challenge for private real estate managers across the board. How do you overcome, do they require daily valuations, and how do you actually overcome it?
They do require daily valuations. Any fund that has daily trades requires daily valuation. Our underlying funds do quarterly third-party appraisals. And so every quarter, all 400 to 500 assets are appraised by a third party, independent from Prudential. In addition to that, we need to provide a daily value for the DC funds. And the way we do that is we hire a second independent fiduciary for our investors to do the daily valuation. And what they're doing is they're conflating that time period from a quarter to a day. And the theory behind that is we want to do an even allocation of value during the quarter. We want to recalibrate the value on a daily basis as any information comes in, whether it's macro, Janet Yellen changing interest rates, or it's micro, leases signed, new valuation comes in at the property level. They want to reflect that in the daily value every day because we want people to trade in and out on as fair a basis as possible.
So what about risk appetite? You said obviously the DC plans are really looking to maximize the returns because of the outperformance of the defined benefit plans versus defined contributions. So what is the risk appetite? Where's the risk tolerance?
So when you have a target date fund, you've got where the starting point, you've got the fund that's going to be allocating anywhere from 80 to 90% to equities because the notion is you've got another 40 years before the person's retiring. As the person, the investor, gets closer to retirement, the target date will de-risk the equity and have exposure into fixed income and other asset classes. What we like to say is early on in the glide path, in the beginning of the glide path, we believe REITs is the way to go because you've got greater returns, you're going to get greater volatility, but you have a long time horizon to make up any shortfalls, any corrections, and you can manage the volatility because it's an equity diversification. As you get closer to retirement, what we are hearing from plan sponsors is that as my participants are 5-10 years away from retirement, that's where I can't afford to have them in over allocation equities because we can't afford a correction. So that's where we see private real estate because of its low correlation to equities and its low volatility compared to a REIT really is a good spot to be in the glide path as you get closer to retirement.
And obviously, you're talking about private real estate. That says to me very much core, income producing, not necessarily the high, obviously looking for the 18%+. Do you see the DC plans ever moving up the risk spectrum in terms of, bringing perhaps more value add opportunistic style strategies earlier into the target date funds?
I think where the marketplace is today, they've got to get comfortable just with core. But there are plan sponsors who are much more of a pioneer in this space. And they're investing in opportunistic real estate and private equity and so forth because they're, again, looking at the long-term time horizon and they're looking to optimize. So while I don't see it as something that sponsors are really ready to jump into, there are some sponsors out there who are already there. So it's just not where the main market is.
And Len, you actually mentioned leverage, which I think is a critical question when you look at private real estate. What's the appetite for leverage? What really is the tolerance that the plan sponsors are looking at?
I think for DB and DC plans as well, the core funds have about 20 to 30% leverage. That's where most people are comfortable. When you see peak to trough drops in real estate, even at the worst markets, you might see a 30 to 40% drop, which is what you saw in 2008. So even at 20, 30% leverage, you're pretty safe to ride through a cycle. When you start getting above that, that's when you get the higher volatility, and your NAVs can really change a lot quarter to quarter, which is not the appetite we're seeing from DC plans. We spoke to many sponsors and many consultants as we were developing these products. They were very clear we want to see core type real estate for our funds.
And talk to me in regards to kind of the marketplace, the options that are out there for the DC plans, when they're looking to bring in obviously real estate.
So 3 years ago when I started in this role, I reached out to 30 sponsors and I had one sponsor who said they were interested in looking at the asset class and actually invested in it. Most of the other sponsors I talked to, they gave me a meeting because I knew them and they were my friends. So they said, let's come in and hear about it. Today, I'm getting a call once a month from a number of different sponsors and consultants saying, let's come in, talk, and understand what you're trying to do because we are very interested in looking at real estate. That's from the sponsors community. From the real estate side, 3 years ago, there were four or five managers who had products and had track record. Today, there's anywhere from 8 to 10 managers out there, some just launching products at the end of the year. But more importantly, the industry has come together and is starting to work together to kind of look at how do we have conversations in the DC plant space to educate the marketplace and also create some common practices where possible around how the mechanics can work. So 2 years ago, an organization called the Defined Contribution Real Estate Council was formed, and there were 9 founding firms. Within a year, the 9 founding firms grew to 30 members. So clearly the real estate marketplace is starting to realize it's a different conversation and it's a different education process that you need to have with the DC plan sponsor.
I know it may be very difficult to kind of quantify the scale of the capital that could come in from DC plans, but can you give us an estimate as to how big an opportunity this might be for commercial real estate and for private real estate?
Well, if you look at the growth of the DC market, there's estimates that it's going to be as much as in excess of $7 trillion in the next 10 years. There's many who are saying that half of those assets will be in target date funds, and half of the target date assets will be in custom TDFs. The custom TDF market, where plan sponsors are really creating their own glide path and then choosing their own investments, is where the opportunity is for real estate, for the most part. So if you could be talking about $2 to $3 trillion in money in custom TDFs that would be available for real estate managers to try to capture assets and capture funding.
And the average DB investor has about 6 to 7% of their assets in real estate. So if you want to extrapolate and allow us to dream a bit, you know, you take the $2-3 trillion times 6%, you get to very large numbers for DC in real estate, which right now they're at the infancy. There's almost none. So you could have, you know, accelerated growth in the next few years, and that's really what we're hoping for.